This is New England Public Radio. Under British rule, starting in the late 19th century, many thousands crossed the sea to Kenya from India. This history is central to Jennifer Acker's new novel, The Limits of the World, the next pick in our summer fiction series. Acker edits the Amherst College literary journal, The Common, and she teaches writing there. She spoke with New England Public Radio's Jill Kaufman about her new book, in which we meet 30-year-old Sunil and his parents living in the United States.
It's an immigration story, it's a mother-son story, and it's a love story. And it takes place in the year 2000, and it is, you know, over the span of about 6 months in which Sunil discovers something that he didn't know for all of his 30 years, which is that he actually has a brother, a biological brother, but born in Kenya and raised in Kenya.
How did you develop the story, and how much of this might be autobiographical?
Right. So my first experience in Kenya was in 1995, and I went there and spent some time living with an African family. And it was during that time that I saw there was an Indian community living in East Africa, which was a huge surprise to me. Then about 5 or 6 years later, I ended up meeting a man who was born in the U.S., but who was Indian, but whose parents were from Nairobi. So I married into this East African Indian family. And so certainly the idea that a family would move to a different continent almost every generation was the inspiration for this story.
This piece of history that happened to generations of this family, underlying the various personalities, can you talk about the tension between Urmila and Sunil, mother and son? He is a Harvard all but dissertation philosophy major. She is a mother in Columbus, Ohio, runs a store. Her husband is a doctor. What's going on?
Well, Sunil was raised as an only child in Columbus, Ohio, with these parents who are immigrants, who are Indian, but from Nairobi. So there is already a kind of disconnect in the identification. Urmila is always feeling left behind and resentful and trying to make something of herself, sort of grateful for the opportunities that she has in the U.S., which she knows she wouldn't have if she were in a more patriarchal place, growing up with her family in Nairobi, but she's isolated and can't understand why she doesn't get all the things that she wants.
You don't write her very sympathetically to start, at least. Like, it's very hard to not be like, Urmila. And Premshan, her husband, he calls her darling often, and yet it appears not a very loving, on the surface, marriage, though a committed one, and certainly one that's been through quite a lot, especially given that you learn early on in the story that they have a son who they left in Kenya. And you do give this away on the book flap. I just want to make that clear. This is not a spoiler alert, right?
Exactly. That's exactly. Rich. That's where the story takes off, is where Sunil learns this. And it feels like such a huge betrayal for him. You know, he's writing his dissertation on the origins of morality, and the idea that his parents would keep this information from him is devastating. And the revelation of this information convenes a family reunion of sorts, and everyone goes to Nairobi and digs around family history and tries to understand each other.
And if there are themes, one of them could be disconnect. Another could be maybe it's acceptance even of the situations people are in.
That's particularly crucial in families. And so we have this family that is disconnected by circumstance and by culture, but also by personality. And, you know, that all of these people are so different. And one of the things that Sunil really balks at is this idea that his mother doesn't apologize for anything. And that's just sort of unthinkable to him, that there can't be acceptance if there is no willingness to speak forgiveness.